Hello, sports fans, and welcome to the IndySportsLegends.com podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Smith. It is great to be with you. And today on the show, we are going to be discussing the Indiana Hoosiers season preview. And there's obviously a lot to talk about here, not only giving some thoughts and predictions on the upcoming season, but also talking about all of the events that have taken place recently with the program. And joining me on the program today is Chris Goff. Chris covers the Hoosiers for the Journal Gazette out of Fort Wayne. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tyler. It's good to be here.
Yeah, we don't get a chance to do these podcasts all that often, but I'm not sure that there's a better time to talk about the Indiana basketball program than right now. Obviously, the season is about to tip off, so we'll talk about predictions and preview the upcoming year. But on top of that, the news surrounding the program here lately, the suspensions, the accident with Devin Davis, and of course, the head coach Tom Crean is always talked about quite a bit. And that's actually where I want to start with the show today, Chris. So before we get into the basketball side of things, let's talk about the state of the program. Let's talk about the head coach Tom Crean. It seems like Coach Crean is always under a lot of scrutiny. It seems like there's always multiple people talking about, you know, wanting him fired, wanting to go in a different direction. But maybe right now more than ever, Tom Crean is under fire among many fans and media alike. So, Chris, what is your take on Tom Crean right now and his job status moving forward?
Well, I think his job status for right now is pretty solid. I mean, Fred Glass came out the other day and said that Tom Crean isn't even part of these off-the-court issues. And Fred Glass is been a pretty sharp guy as Indiana's athletic director since he took over. I think Kevin Wilson, his hires football coach, has turned out pretty well. I know that Hoosiers football team isn't having the season that they want to this year, which is an injury to their quarterback. But, you know, Fred Glass in general has been a pretty sharp guy, and he's not going to bow just to public pressure because a prominent voice here or there is calling for Tom Crean to be dismissed. And I've always thought, Tyler, that Tom Crean, in a lot of ways, is kind of a natural fit to be the coach of Indiana because he really understands and appreciates the program's history and tradition, and he tries to uphold a lot of the values that you'd like to see in the program if you're a fan of the program. And I think these recent state of issues are definitely alarming. I think Indiana definitely has issues with maturity, and maybe some of these kids don't belong in the program, and maybe they won't make it. But when you have alcohol issues and when you have drug issues, reportedly failed drug tests, you can't always put that on the coach because Tom Crean, last I checked, does not have handcuffs and a stun gun. He's not a police officer. He doesn't have a badge. And he just can't follow his players around 24/7. And so I think if Tom Crean had revealed himself to be a poor judge of character, then you look at him and you say, you know, is this guy the right guy to be the steward of a program that stands for more than just basketball? I think he can coach. I think he showed that at Marquette. I think he showed that in the way he turned around Indiana's program year after year, improving its defensive efficiency, taking over a team that had just hit rock bottom as far as its talent level after Kelvin Sampson left. The first 3 years, he just did not have anywhere close to the personnel to win in the Big Ten. But he sold people on the school. He made Victor Oladipo into an NBA draft prospect when Oladipo was as raw as fish, and sold Cody Zeller on the program, one of the biggest recruits that schools had in years. So I don't think Tom Crean's problems are really X's and O's, and I don't think his problem is that he's not telling the kids that he wants them to behave. I just think that Crean gets a bad rap, and right now, I think he's going to be under pressure if they don't have a good year this year. I think this team still has some holes. They were 17-15 last year. And that's really what gets people talking is, you know, if this was a team that was about to be preseason top 10, we would not be having the same narrative that we have now where Crean's job security is a question. If Crean does not win this year at a higher rate, if he doesn't make the NCAA tournament, for sure, if he doesn't make the NIT, then his seat's going to get really hot after this year. But I still feel like as long as there aren't any more issues, Crean will be safe going forward. His contract is still up for 12 years. This is only year 7. You remember they gave him an extension 2 years ago because of the way he turned the program around. It's just easy to forget all that now. It it'd be easy to be contrarian when there are a lot of these issues in the news recently. But I still stand by my belief that Tom Crean coach and he's the right guy for this job. So are you kind of at that same place?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's probably a lot of fans tuning into this that might even be a little bit shocked that you have two guys talking about the Indiana program and talking about Tom Crean, and we're actually saying kind of the opposite of what you have been seeing a lot in the media and among the fans recently, in that we are both, you know, supporting Tom Crean and think that he is the right guy for the job. For me, I don't think it's been much of a secret. I've been a Tom Crean supporter from day one. I think he's done a great job bringing the program back to respectability. I do believe, and I think you do as well, that you know, some of these suspensions should have been a lot more severe. I think, you know, last year specifically, Hunter Perea's suspension could have been a lot more severe than what it was. At the same time, fans have to understand, have to know that Tom Crean and his staff, you know, handle discipline privately. Athletic director Fred Glass, you mentioned him, he was quoted this past weekend as saying that, you know, if he had to do things over again, he and Tom Crean would do a few things differently, but also said that the players absolutely at this point know what is expected and knows that enough is enough. And so we'll see if that ends up being the case. I, you know, like you, I've always kind of felt like Tom Crean gets a little bit too much criticism and maybe not enough credit for what he's accomplished at IU. You know, I don't think he's the best coach in the country. I don't think he's the best coach in the conference. But overall, he's done a lot of great things with the program. And I do feel like it's an important year coming up for him. And so that's one thing I was going to ask you as well, Chris, is do you think, or I should put it like this, how much of the basketball side of things may affect him as far as his job status after this coming season? Is it all about basketball? Does he have maybe another few years because of what he's accomplished? Or do you think the recent events may change any of that?
No, I think they're all tied together. I think it's impossible to separate the basketball from the off court, because at the end of the day, as Green said the other day, he wears multiple hats. I think these hats are weighted equally among the people that make these kinds of decisions. So if Green has a great year basketball-wise, this turns out to be a 23-win team, and is in the upper half of the Big Ten, and Hunter Mosquera Perea looks great, and James Black Jr. is an instant success and all that. Everybody's really happy with what's going on, feel confident about the future of the team. Recruits keep coming in. He's not going to be okay if there continue to be off-the-court incidents. And on the flip side, if there are no off-court incidents, everybody, if they're choir boys the rest of the year, we never read about another police report with an Indiana player's name in it, but this team winds up, you know, 18 and 13 or 16 and 15, and is just completely irrelevant in the national picture for a second straight year, he's going to be in trouble, and there are going to be certain people on the board of trustees that are anxious to get rid of him, no matter how much a buyout might cost. And the fans, I mean, we already know the fans right now are in certain segments very vocal against Tom Crean and have been for a while. So it all is tied together. It's hard to separate them. And I think at Indiana, in particular, there's less of a willingness to overlook off-the-court issues. My buddy Jeff Robjohns made a good point the other day that it's really unfair to expect people just because they wear the cream and crimson to be angels. You know, the basketball team isn't 15 angels, is the way Jeff Rabjohns put it. And I agree with that. They're all human. They're going to make mistakes. But the thing to me, Tyler, is that Tom Crean does not have a track record of getting players into the program who continually embarrass themselves. You know, there's nothing wrong with Cody Zeller. He's an impeccable character. Same thing with Victor Oladipo, Jordan Halls, and down the line to all the people who filled the bench on those teams. So, and the important thing to me as well is that academically, Crean has this program in as good a shape as it's ever been. Four straight years of a perfect 1,000 in the NCAA's academic progress rate. And that to me is key, because the program had really hit rock bottom with Samson in so many ways. But the most egregious was that just kids were not going to class, and just academically, There was no standards for the kids, and that's not going to fly. But the cream has to go into class, and that can always change. The grades can always plummet. Right now, I mean, it looks pretty solid in that area. So I think it's always going to be a combination of those factors. And Crean always seems to represent himself with class as well. So all of those are things that Brad Glass is going to consider. I think Crean passes muster in most of those areas. But like I said, it's got to change. Indiana's got to get these players to act their age and to behave, to make the right decisions, to realize what a privilege it is to wear the uniform. They can't do that. Crean's going to be in trouble whether it's his fault or not.
And yeah, you touched on it. You know, Tom Crean's been here 7 years now, and it seems like this stuff just started happening with a few of the current players. And he also had, you know, really good reports from his players at Marquette, you know, on down the line of his coaching career of helping guys, you know, become leaders and with their character. And it's just, like you said, a lot of factors that come into play here. So a very important year for him and for the program, obviously. One thing I wanted to touch on as well on the show, and we're not going to mention any names, but one thing that bothers me a little bit in the sports world when you talk about you know, some of the media members, and one of my problems is when certain media members do a certain thing and try to be controversial, a lot of times that trickles down into how the fans act and how the fans treat the players and the program and everything along those lines. But it seems to me like everybody just wants to be controversial. You know, they want to make these bold statements. They want to get their names in the news. They want to get a lot of retweets. And it seems like it's just always an extreme one way or the other. And I'm not just talking about this situation at IU. I'm talking about, you know, all situations in all different sports. But when it comes to this situation, you've got some people saying that, oh, Tom Crean should have been fired on the spot for this. And then you have some people who are basically saying that, oh, none of this is Tom Crean's fault and boys will be boys and whatever else. So my question is, why can't there be more fans and more people in the media who can just take a realistic approach to situations, you know, report on both sides of the equation? That's something I try to do at Indy Sports Legends. I know, Chris, that's something you do as well. You try to see all sides in your work for the Journal Gazette. And for this situation, this is where I stand. Tom Crean is not completely innocent here. You know, there are some things he can do better, such as the suspensions being longer and things that we talked about. But at the same time, he cannot babysit these kids. He can only do so much. He can only learn so much about a player before they move to a college campus in terms of their character and leadership. What happened with Devin Davis is about as serious as it can get. But to say you should just fire the coach based on a couple players' bad decisions is just crazy to me. I tweeted this the other day. Former IU baseball coach Tracy Smith called basically anyone who is saying Tom Crean should be fired, he's calling them ignorant, misinformed, or mean-spirited. And I can't say that I disagree with him. But what do you think about all this? Do you agree, disagree about the whole media buzz and the role that some of these guys end up playing and how the fans perceive how things are going?
I think you summed up really well what is kind of a general trend in society, that people take an odd sense of glee from just dragging somebody else down. So, you know, I'm not necessarily happy with my station in life, but, you know, I have a chance to kind of go after Tom Crean and make my voice known on that subject. And not even necessarily Tom Crean. It could be any coach. And it seems to be especially true with coaches. You know, we all like to label things, and this is this and this is that. And when we think about coaches, we only have two labels, okay? There are good coaches, right, and there are bad coaches. And nobody digs any further than that. There's no nuance. There's no black and white. And we change our perceptions of good and bad just, you know, like from fall to winter. It's just they change like the seasons. And, you know, Indiana won yesterday. Crean's a good coach. And there's a player who had a DUI today. He's a bad coach. Most coaches are combinations of strengths and weaknesses. So there are certain things that Tom Crean does well that make him well-suited to lead the program. And there are also some things that maybe Crean doesn't do as well than another coach, Bo Ryan, or heaven forbid, John Calipari, just to throw a name out there, would do better. So you have to constantly weigh factors and use logic, and that's always an issue when people are sensationalizing things. And I work in the print industry. I see how tough it is every day. I know some good people who have been laid off, and I know some people who worried about their jobs, and it's tough for us to make money. And sometimes there's that temptation to take whatever tactic will sell papers or get people to your website. And sometimes that means going to the extremes. And, you know, Crean should be fired right now, or, you know, these are just kids and they haven't done anything wrong, and college students do that every day. So I think you definitely summed it up. And of course, Indiana is not in a bubble. Indiana is affected by the same trends that affect all of us as a society, and we're in the 21st century, and social media is out there, and we live in the age of everybody having an opinion, and to where not only do you have an opinion, it has to be a strong one, and everybody likes to voice it, and we have to pass judgment immediately. But a decision like that, removing the head coach, there should be a lot of reasons for doing that. And I just don't see it there with getting Crean out of there right now. I just don't see a strong case built up. But, you know, everybody has an opinion, and everybody's going to express it. And in some ways, that's great. In some ways, we get a debate where things are clouded, and that's maybe where we are right now.
Absolutely. Tyler Smith, Chris Goff coming at you for IndySportsLegends.com podcast. Chris, let's talk about the basketball side of things. Because of everything that's happened, it seems like this offseason has just been dragging on and on and on, but basketball is coming. And so my first question for you is, what do you think about the new players this season, whether it be freshmen or transfers?
Well, James Blackman looks really, really good, obviously. I think he's one of the best prospects that Tom Crean has landed at Indiana. He looks like somebody who can hit shots, and he looks like somebody who can great shots for others, and I feel like Indiana's offense was a little bit too much one-on-one last season, and I know that Tom Crean would like more ball movement, but I think that Blackman is somebody who can not only be a catch-and-shoot player, but can also be a slasher, who could score in transition and has mid-range touch, so I think he will open a lot of things up. Nick Zeisloff, to me, stood out in the exhibition the other day, and obviously a complete caveat for the level of competition. But his mindset stuck out to me as being aggressive. He was nervous at the start of the game. He put those nerves away, didn't let it bug him. And if he's going to be an attacking player who's not afraid to shoot when he's open, it's going to be very valuable to the offense. Because Evan Gordon was tentative at times last season. And I know you really like Zeisloff a lot. You feel like he's going to bypass Gordon's production.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of more of a wait and see approach with that. But I think Nick Zeisloff is a very impressive young man, and the time that he's talked to us, and he seems like his intangibles will really help. Robert Johnson is a guy who I think can be a good role player. Seems like they're going to use him inside some, maybe even as a backup point guard as well. If he can handle the ball, it's going to be a major plus. And I think he's another guy who's been spaced before. And the jury is still out on some of these big men that Crean has added. I think a lot of them are raw projects. But it definitely helps to have that depth, because you never know if HMP has been spanned before. So all in all, I think it's a pretty good recruiting class. And especially Blackman, I think, is going to pay immediate dividends. He's very, very impressive in a lot of ways.
Yeah, right there with you again, Chris. The first two names that came to my mind was Blackman Jr. and Zeisloft. I think James Blackman Jr. is a guy that has a chance to be special. You know, from what I've seen and heard, his defense may be a work in progress, but he can flat out score. You know, he's not just a good shooter. He can get to the rim. He's got a good mid-range game as well. And like you said, creating for others. So he's got a chance to make just a major impact from day one, and this team's going to need it. So it's going to be a nice addition. And then you mentioned Zeisloft. I think he's going to be a big addition to the team as well, on and off the court. In the times that I've watched him, it seems like he's just a guy who's always in the right place at the right time. I know it's not, again, the best competition, but if you include all the exhibition games, including the Canada trip, He's shooting over 50% from three and doesn't turn the ball over much, gives you another shooter. He doesn't play like Will Sheehy. And, you know, I'm not saying he's as good of a player as Will Sheehy, but one comparison I've made is that I think he's going to help at least offset the loss of Will Sheehy a little bit on this team in terms of some of the leadership and being able to hit the outside shot. So we will see. Johnson, I think, depending on his what ends up happening with how versatile he can become, if he does play some point guard and move around a little bit, that can only help. You never know with freshmen. You know, some guys take until their sophomore, junior, or even senior year to really explode. But one thing I like about Johnson is he seems to have a high basketball IQ, and that's huge. He's not just a guy that's only an athlete. I think he's got some knowledge. And so who knows, maybe he will play really well right off the bat or, you know, take a little bit of time and we'll see how that goes. But let's talk about some keys to the season. You know, a lot's been talked about the Hoosiers' lack of a front court. They lost Noah Vonleh to the NBA. Luke Fisher transferred. I would say this is pretty easily the biggest concern as far as on-court stuff for this team. And it's probably also the biggest key. Is it safe to say that Indiana's entire season may hinge on the play of Hunter Mascara-Perea?
Yeah, I don't think it's totally unfair to say that, because Hunter doesn't have to be all Big Ten, but he has to be, he's a glue piece. So if Hunter comes out of the game, what's behind him is so shaky and so unreliable that it could undo the good work that Farrell does. Could make Blackman's life a lot tougher. It could really make it hard on this team to defend it at a respectable rate. So Hunter's a guy who, first and foremost, has got to stay on the floor, okay? He's slender. He's an athletic guy. He's always had a tendency to foul. His career average for 40 minutes is 7 fouls. So if he played the entire 40 minutes, he'd foul out plus 2. And that just can't go on. He's got to keep his hands to himself and stay out on the floor. So I think he can rebound. I think he can block shots. I just don't know if there's anyone on this team who can reliably get them points in the paint. You know, Yogi Ferrell is still perimeter-oriented. Blackman is still perimeter-oriented. Troy Williams is a guy who can jam at home, but it's not going to back anybody up and be a post player. So they don't have any true post players. But Mascara-Perea is not going to be that, but he has to be able to catch the ball on occasion. He's got to move laterally, find openings, and get some offensive rebounds, putbacks, and things of that nature. So Hunter seems to really understand his importance to this team. The first exhibition game, I thought he was really locked in, concentrating for 33 minutes, which is 20 above his career average of 9 minutes a game. I was pretty impressed by that, so... Hunter's one of these guys who's had some off-the-court issues. Maybe that was exactly the wake-up call he needs, and maybe being a primary piece is going to be a wake-up call that he needs. Knowing that the team depends on him might bring out the best in him. How confident are you in Hunter Mascara-Perea, Tyler?
Well, it's a tough one. I look back, and, you know, he wasn't great as a sophomore, obviously, but he was a lot better than his freshman year. And so, to me, I feel like, you know, if he can make the same kind of jump that he made from last year, from the previous year, I think he has a chance to be a solid player. I don't even think IU needs him to score all that much. They just need him to be a presence. They don't even need to run a whole lot of offense through him, but they definitely need him to rebound, protect the rim, get some putback opportunities, and really just be a force and understand the game. And so here in a few minutes, we'll talk predictions, and my predictions actually are pretty heavily tied to how I believe Hunter Mascara-Perea will do this season. So we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. I will say this, though. One thing, as you're talking about, you know, keys to this season, when your team can shoot, that can cover a lot of problems. And, you know, Indiana lost a lot of close games last year, and they really struggled with their shot on most nights. You can get away with the lack of a post presence, the lack of a great offensive set, among other things. And I think IU is going to be able to run, And I really think they're going to be able to shoot. The combination of Yogi and Blackman might be one of the better scoring backcourts in the conference. And I just think when you're talking again about the lack of a post presence, if they can knock down their shots, that's going to cover up a lot of those weaknesses. So let's go ahead and dive into the predictions. This is always a difficult thing to do with a college team. Unlike professional sports, it's really hard to gauge what kind of improvement players will have from one season to the next. Sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's a huge jump from, let's say, freshman to sophomore year. Not only that, but the incoming freshman. All we have to go off of is the ratings of, you know, their recruiting, and you know how that goes at times. It's hard to say if a freshman will live up to the hype, or if he won't until later in his career, or if he never will. It's really hard to say. So there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of question marks when you're trying to predict a college basketball team, but we're going to try to do it anyway. So, Chris, what do you think in terms of win total, how they'll do in the conference, and do they have any shot of making the NCAA tournament this year?
Well, to take that last question first, it still seems to me more likely that they miss the NCAA tournament than make it. But there are great many wild cards here. You know, how well Blackman plays, how hard Mascara Perea adjusts to his increased role, how Crean coaches. You know, I will admit that, you know, like Tom Crean, he did not have his best year coaching last year. And so these are all the factors that we have to look at if we are judging whether Indiana's season will look a lot different than last year. I mean, this is still a team that has a lot of young talent. But as you alluded to so well, freshmen typically need at least a year before their play really zooms upward. And we saw that last year with Troy Williams, Stanford Robinson. So Blackman may have his struggles, especially since he moved around in high school. And, you know, defensively, he may take some time to get adjusted. So I'm kind of looking at Indiana and thinking, you know, here's a team that's hard to predict. You know, they're not going to be last in the country in defense or offense or anything like that. This is still a team that has a lot of holes. If they have any injuries in the front court, it's just going to be an untenable situation down there if Mascara Perea gets hurt or Troy Williams gets in further trouble or gets hurt. And then you look at the backcourt, you wonder about that secondary ball handler. Really, you like shooting. I think Crean will be able to turn this thing around. I have him at 18 and 13 for a 31-game regular season. And that's kind of contingent on the fact that I just really don't trust Mascara Perea a lot. And I think when you take Noah Vonleh away, you add more shooting, but you take Vonleh away, you kind of end up in the same spot as you had last year. I think they can cut their turnovers a little bit, but I know 18-13 is kind of what I'm thinking, and basically a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big Ten, probably an NIT team, but not much better than that. That's kind of the upside I see, unless Blackman really explodes or Yogi Ferrell takes his play up another level. Am I too pessimistic, or where are you coming down on this Hoosier season, Tyler?
Pretty comparable to where I have this team. And to me, you know, assuming that Devin Davis is in fact out for the year, which we all think he probably will be, I think that's going to be a big blow. And our thoughts and prayers are with Devin, and his recovery is far more important than basketball. But since we are talking about predictions, I think that he will end up being a big loss. One of the few guys that can rebound, and even though he's undersized, he was part of an already thin front court. And so I'm not sure how the team will bounce back from that. I'm not sure how they'll handle all the distractions, because you know it's got to be on their minds. Tom Crean, and like we've talked about, a very important year in his career. He's got a tough task ahead of him to simply do his job and you know, not worry about what people are saying. I've been a little more optimistic about this team than others. I was actually pretty surprised at the KenPom projections. It's usually a very accurate system, and it had Indiana at 26th, which I think is a little high. And again, that was before the suspensions and the Devin Davis accident as well. But Like you, I feel like they're going to be middle of the pack, Big Ten. I'm going to go ahead and say that they're going to finish around seventh in the conference. Every prediction I've seen in the media world has them anywhere from eighth to tenth. I'm going to go one higher and put them at seventh, and I think they're going to end up being a bubble team that could go either way for the NCAA tournament, and maybe around 19 wins is what I'm going to go with. Banking on the backcourt having a huge year, including Blackman Jr. right from the word go. And I do think Connor Perret is going to be solid enough, as scary as that sounds, to keep them in the mix. But honestly, I was probably going to go with 20 or 21 wins before the Devin Davis injury and the suspensions and all the distractions that are coming with that. But I'll go ahead and say somewhere between 18 and 19 wins myself. And the good news is for Hoosier fans, with a lot of moving parts and a lot of, you know, it's very hard to predict. And that's actually an exciting thing for a fan going into a season and thinking, hey, you know, we do have a shot to make some noise. And so what do you think, on top of the predictions, what are you most looking forward to as we wrap up the show today?
Well, I do think that the possibilities for this team are sort of all over the map. And I think Troy Williams makes that possible. I mean, as long as Mascara Perea is solid in the middle, if you get Troy Williams to be a piece in the run-and-gun offense, kind of like Sean Marion was for the Suns, a super athletic kid who can rebound, run the floor, defend, cause some havoc defensively, I think this team can do big things. I mean, it's a very hard team to predict. But I'm looking forward to seeing how Nick Zaislav fits in right away as somebody coming from the outside. Is he able to really look at the things that are going on and help these kids get their focus back in the right place, stop making the mistakes? Can they end their struggle with outside shooting? I think they'll be able to do that. Does Stanford Robinson need another year of adjustment to the college game? Or can he be that guy who's attacking off the dribble, making things happen? And I'm looking forward to seeing what Crean can do as a coach, because I think he's going to really have to help this group with the deficiencies that it has, with the youth that it has. Before Davis got hurt, I was projecting their nine-man rotation to have six players in their first or second year of college. And I don't care who you are as a coach or what league you play in, six of your top nine guys are in their first or second year of college, you're going to have some problems, because teams that really make noise have a senior or junior here and there to kind of bring that team together. So I think Indiana will play exciting ball. They'll try to be fast. They'll try to create chaos and defensive pressure. So it should be a fun team to watch. And Yogi Ferrell is one of the better lead guards in the Big Ten. So as always, when you have a team with all of those possibilities, they could hang on to the NCAA tournament race, as you mentioned, be on that bubble at the end of the year, or it could just completely go south. And we're talking at the end of the year about program disarray. But when you don't know what's going to happen, it makes things interesting. And I don't think anybody can accuse this team of not being interesting.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, one thing that fans can hope for and ask for. That especially coming off a disappointing season, that you never know what's going to happen, and with that brings a lot of excitement. And one thing is for sure, the time for talk is almost over. Open up the season at home on Friday. It's time to go play and hopefully put everything behind them and get fans excited in Bloomington again for an upcoming season. Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining. Always a great time talking hoops with you. Be sure to follow Chris at CGoffJG as he covers the Hoosiers and more for the Journal-Gazette out of Fort Wayne. Chris, thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Jeff.